Welcome to A-Town at the Movies. Today, we're going to talk about
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Yes. And let's just come right out of the gate and launch with our initial thoughts here, because I think we're going to have the same thoughts, and if you don't share our thoughts, this might be a rough episode to get through. So
this movie is not, I feel like it's not a waste of your time, but it's probably one of the dumber movies I've seen in a long time, and it's very frustrating to me. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. I didn't think it was very intelligent. There's a lot of head-scratcher moments in it. I didn't really particularly love the movie, but I feel like kids will like it, you know, the ones that are into dinosaurs. And if you're invested in just seeing dinosaurs and action set pieces on film, then it's fine. Like, it's well done as far as visually. It just sort of laid into the worst 90s movie sort of tendencies in the plot that really frustrated me. And everything, I was just sort of inwardly screaming, why would you do this? And then whenever the actual plot unfolded, I was like, this is dumb. And the logical conclusion that it'll lead to in the next movie is even dumber, and I don't want to see it being captured on film. So that's my initial impression. How about you?
This movie was bad. That is my impression.
Yeah.
I'm generally a very forgiving person, generally speaking, when it comes to movies, but I struggled to have any positive thoughts about this.
I wanted it to end. Not saying it was...
No, I'm with you.
Again, like, if you're into this sort of movie, it's fine. I mean, that's fine. It'll fill your void. It's you won't feel like it's a waste of time. It's sort of like... I don't feel like wasting my time on Transformers, but I understand people that want to see robots smash into each other for two and a half hours. Like, you'll love it. You know, it'll give you that fix. But yeah, so to me, I just sort of wanted it to end. It wasn't necessarily a waste of time.
I haven't wanted a movie to end like this in a long time, and that is exactly how I felt.
Yeah, it was just sort of dumb.
It was just like, this needs to stop.
So forewarning, if you love the movie, we've talked about before, we try not to do episodes where we just trash on something the whole time, but I don't see how we're going to avoid it here. So if you like the movie, no problem, but you might want to skip this episode.
Yeah. I after my initial notes and looking through them and realizing how one-sided they were, mm-hmm. I made a little separate section that just says the good. And yeah. I figured whenever it feels like we're getting a little down, I'm just going to sprinkle in some things.
Yeah, I'll kick it off. Like, there's a couple things that I think work well in this movie. So, again, the visual effects and the set pieces themselves are entertaining. So, if you're going...
That's on my list, too. I think the visual effects are the best of the series, like, by far.
Right.
I looked some stuff up later, and there was actually a lot of... like puppetry in this one.
Oh yeah,
because I was kind of wondering, because I like in Jurassic World there were certain scenes where it obviously was puppets and it was kind of like oh, that's kind of a cool homage to the originals, right?
Yeah,
but like they were obviously puppets, whereas in this one I was like, either these visual effects are really really good or this puppetry is really really good, and it's probably a blend of the two, but like I found it to be actually genuinely really really impressive.
Yeah. It was visually interesting. To me, this was both the good part of the movie and also part of the problem in a way, and I'll explain this in a second. The set pieces themselves, it feels like they thought up a bunch of, well, like, what if we connived a scenario to where this sort of fight happened between these two dinosaurs? And they were like, so let's try and make a plot to make sure these set of five things happen. But I also think that's part of the problem is it's just about getting to these scenarios where these things happen rather than writing the plot and letting the things happen organically, if that makes sense. So the plot suffers.
Yeah, nothing about this movie felt organic.
Right.
I felt like I was in the writer's room listening to, like, all right, we need to get these people over here.
Yeah.
And how are we going to do that? And then, like, something happens and it's like, oh, I guess we can just try that.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like watching this movie. It felt like I was sitting in the writer's room, like, going, well, no, that wouldn't work because X, Y, Z. And they're like, well, we just spent $60 million on that scene, so I guess that's what's going to happen. It's like, right. Gosh.
Yeah, and so the other thing that I think this movie did well, just to get kind of knock this out of the way.
let's front the good stuff. That's actually a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard, they're charming actors. They're fine. Their chemistry is fine together. They're funny people.
Yeah, I genuinely felt like I heard some people saying that they thought that they phoned it in, and I kind of felt the opposite. I'm like, they had like nothing to work with.
Yeah.
And I still felt like they were delightful to watch.
Yeah, yeah, they're fine. Like, it's sort of why I feel like the first Jurassic World was so huge, in part because of the draw of Chris Pratt. People really liked him, and he's sort of in the zeitgeist right now. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed them in the movie. They're fine. They're not necessarily dull to watch, and when they are, again, it's probably the script's fault, not theirs. Like you said, they're not phoning it in.
Yeah, so. Definitely.
So let's kind of walk through the plot a little bit. Right. We don't have to go point by point. So
it would be hard to go point by point.
Yeah. So it opens and we're with this random company or group of people that are.
Oh, I forgot about this whole scene.
In a rainstorm at night, or I don't even remember if it's raining.
So for some reason, at night in the rain.
Yeah, they're getting these dinosaurs. People are underwater.
They wanted to get the bones of.
That's right.
Oh crap! What was the name of the like genetically modified
Supersaurus.
Dinosaur? The Supersaurus from the first one. I remember the Endoraptor is the new one. I can't remember what the first one was called. But yeah, they wanted to get the bone so that they had like a DNA sample.
Right. So that's what they go for. And number one, they leave the gate open so that the huge thing in the water can get out and not affect the plot in any way whatsoever later. So I'm guessing that's a little stinger for some other future movie. Or
no, they showed it at the very end of the movie.
Did they?
Yeah, they were showing all the random scenes of the dinosaurs around the world. And
oh, so it was just the first initial, this is the dinosaur that gets out. Okay,
well. It's one of the many, but yeah.
Yeah, so that was sort of stupid. It's like they didn't think, this whole mission in the opening, no one thought through.
Yeah, it was the most poorly executed.
They're going to do the most dangerous thing in the world. The thing that made me realize, oh my God, we're in for a ride here, and not in a good way, is if you remember, there's an opening scene where I think they're like on docks or something, and there's some sort of problem, and the one guy's like working on some electrical box, you know, fix the electrical problem, whatever the heck they're doing, and all the other guys are staring at him with huge faces, and he's going, what? Come on, guys, what?
They were talking on the radio just a minute ago.
Yeah, well, and it's just, well, the whole thing is like, this is what I was talking about, like, this is like the 90s thing to do. Like, I expect this out of the third Jurassic Park in 1999, and I think it's unforgivable nowadays. Like, you're on an island of dinosaurs. You know what you're here for. When people start stopping and staring at you wide-eyed, what do you think they're staring at? What do you think is going to happen?
And he was just yelling about how exposed he was a second ago.
Yeah. You guys are babies. What are you even looking at? You think we're on an island of Like, that's what I felt like within the first 5 minutes of this movie. I was like, oh, this is the level of writing we're dealing with.
This is where we're at.
So the script then becomes a cacophony of people stumbling through moments of
bad decisions.
Just get in the little ball device. Why are you standing there? Your foot is 2 feet from it. Why wouldn't you get in the ball device like you were doing 2 seconds ago before you saw the T-Rex show up? Clearly, like, you can move a little bit because you're moving around the ball and he's not seeing you. So why don't you get in the ball? there was so many moments like this in the movie where I'm like, where someone would see a dinosaur that's about to kill them and do like a 90s, like, hey, hold on there, like talking to the dinosaur or something. I'm just like, what are we doing with this script? It drove me nuts. But anyway.
I was also confused at the very beginning when they first start driving that submarine into the like tank. Mm-hmm. And he's like, don't worry, anything that's here would be dead by now. And it was like, why do you think that the dinosaurs are dead? Couldn't they have seen at daytime that there's just thousands of dinosaurs roaming free everywhere? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't understand that. And that seemed to be a thing throughout this whole movie, was like, well, that was the thing too, is they were all questioning whether or not to save the dinosaurs. So
yeah,
they knew that they were alive. I don't understand. There was lots of things I just don't get.
So the plot is essentially after this foreshadowing opening of what this is going to be like, is this company, this guy who's overseeing another guy's fortune.
Who randomly is another guy associated with Hammond who founded Jurassic Park, but then didn't?
Yeah, co-founded, I think, or something. Yeah,
but has had no involvement with anything
else.
That
bought them out, that bought out Engine or whatever, because it's not Engine anymore. But so this guy has a fortune. There's this younger guy that's overseeing his fortune. And there's a volcano that's going to blow up on one of the sites, one of the multiple sites, which is something never answered in the movie.
Yeah.
And so they so he says he employs Chris Pratt and what's her face, Bryce Dallas Howard. I don't know her name in the movie, to go to this one site and rescue the dinosaurs because there'll be no more left and they need to preserve them. So they portray it to them as a rescue mission. But what it ends up being is he's really a shady guy that needs to get these dinosaurs so that he can sell them on the black market for seed money to develop super raptors.
Right.
So that he can then sell those to the military because tanks are no match for an organic raptor, basically, essentially.
Exactly. This whole premise of like weaponizing dinosaurs is... I just can't.
They will be riding them in the next movie. They will be on saddles in the next movie, and I will throw something at the screen.
Like, here's the thing. I'm fine with that in a different movie, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to make a movie about riding dinosaurs and going into battle, great. That sounds like genuine fun. But that is not Jurassic Park.
No.
This is a, like, grounded in reality.
To a degree, but yes.
Science fiction movie about, like, what if we figured out how to make dinosaurs again and like kind of make it into a monster movie, but the rest of them have an attempt to be grounded in reality. They're not fantasy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the closer they get to this whole, like, there are pets and now we're going to be maybe riding them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to teach them how to shoot guns. They're going to shoot lasers out of their eyes. Like, we have gotten so far away from what this whole franchise is about that I don't even like recognize it.
So, I have a couple questions, and maybe we can go through it step by step with trying to answer some of these along the way. So my first question is, given that this is the plot, first of all, so there's multiple sites, correct? Like, I think I texted you about this earlier, and you said you were wondering the same thing. I had someone point this out to me online. There may be an answer to it, but I'm not aware of it.
Yeah, that was a question I had literally from the beginning, is how is the volcano affecting both islands?
Yes.
And then, like you said, apparently this is only about one of the islands. And I don't even know which one it is. Is this the Lost World one? Isla Nerba?
Yeah, because didn't they establish in the first one, that not the first movie, but the last movie, that there was multiple sites, right? So that's not something I'm imagining.
Well, so Jurassic Park, the first one, takes place on one island.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park 2 and 3 take place on the other, like, breeding island.
Right. Okay.
2 was literally about hunting them on the other island.
Gotcha. Yes.
And there's a bunch of T-Rexes on the other one.
Right.
Because there was, like, the family or whatever.
Yeah. So that's kind of a question. To my knowledge, it doesn't really have an answer.
I did Google it, and it seems like there's some, like, potential but very janky, if you've read all of the, like, marketing, and, like, there's a... I don't know if there's an alternate reality game around it or what, but, like, there is some sort of potential explanation where they may have moved all the dinosaurs from the one island to the other one already. But I'm not, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, so.
No, it didn't. No, it doesn't. My next question is, if this guy is overseeing someone's fortune being the key word there, why does he need to kidnap someone's dinosaurs as seed money to fund a venture?
Yeah.
What? Just use the fortune, right?
That seems like, I mean, he clearly needed more money.
It's just a small thing. I just... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a small thing. Maybe it's that, but...
I don't know. That doesn't bother me. Like, a fortune is a lot of money, but it might not be enough money, you know? I imagine dinosaur cloning is pretty expensive.
I don't know. It's just a weird thing to have to establish a character as rich and say, my goal is to get rich. I don't know. It's just a weird thing. But it's not a big deal. So, my next thing is, this plot relies on two things that annoyed me quite a bit. The first is incompetence.
Sure.
Everyone doing this stuff is completely incompetent, and the plot moves forward based on incompetence, and that bugs me.
Both the good guys and the bad guys.
Yes, and that bugs me because it's not like it's relying on incompetence to make it a real, more realistic, because there's certainly room for that in plots, but it's things like the way that Chris Pratt's character gets out of his jail cell, that because he gets caught later on in the mansion whenever they're selling dinos on the black market, and he gets put in this like dinosaur jail cell, and he gets broken out of there because he tricks a conveniently placed next to him headbutting dinosaur. He gets it to bust into his cage so that they can then bust them out of their jail cell. And the whole time I'm just like, this plot would not move forward if they would have just understood what dinosaur that they were capturing and put it in a different cage.
So, I mean, that one is like, okay, they're not like, it's all the military people, it was rushed. I'm actually more okay with that one. The one I'm less okay with is put the two people in the cage,
mm-hmm.
then very firmly establish to the audience, these people don't need to live. And then he essentially tells the guy, you should kill them.
Yeah.
The guy's like, aren't they going to talk? And he's like, as far as everybody else knows, they died on the island.
Right.
And it's like, oh, crap, he's going to kill them. And then they just leave him.
Yeah.
It's like, why did you leave him alive? You just killed the old guy. That's going to be way harder for you to like hide. So you clearly don't have problems with doing that.
Well, apparently his fortune isn't really a fortune, so he might not be that hard to hide. But anyways, yeah, I totally agree with you on that as well. And then also, this might be a minor thing, but we're dealing with a raptor that we already know the past raptors can open gates. And apparently, like, the way that this thing is keep being kept inside a cage is with a handle that can just be lifted up. Was that the amount of it? There was no lock on it or anything, or was it like electrically powered? Because that might be.
I mean, I don't know. The guy is the one who opened it, though. He like tranked it twice and then.
Yeah, I know. But also, it seemed like a pretty weak locking system, even
indeed.
Were they to bring it out in front of a bunch of people. Anyway.
That's true. But it didn't get out, so maybe their system did work well.
Yeah.
As long as dumb military guys don't just like walk in on a.
Yeah.
Barely tranquilized, like, genetic raptor thing. Gosh, that
so
was bad.
So my next issue here is also, how are they going to get away with selling all these dinosaurs to the black market? Aren't they going to figure out?
Isn't it going to be pretty obvious once dinosaurs start showing up, like, in military events from Russia? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's not like they're coming from the other company that's selling dinosaurs.
Yeah.
it's coming from one place. Yeah. Okay, so my other big problem, that the last movie had this a little bit, but it was sort of something where it was a little okay to overlook, because it was at the end of the movie and it was sort of okay put together. But this movie did this thing that bugs me on Hyperfuel, and then it retroactively made me hate the ending of the last movie as well. And what it is the superhero dinosaurs.
Yes.
I hate this so much. And what I mean by this is, apparently, now, the raptor's okay, because they've established raptors are smart. I trained the raptor, grew up with me. That's not a big deal.
Yeah. That one was always one in the first one where I would tell people, like, I didn't like it on paper.
Right.
But something about the way it played out, I was good with the raptors, like, working with them.
Yeah.
I think because it did feel like dolphins, and it kind of still maintained the, like, these are wild animals.
But the thing that they do to ruin it, both in the last movie and in this movie, is to have an alternative dinosaur that has not been trained and is known for being a wild carnivorous animal come over, bite, and kill the thing that's trying to harm them, stare at them, and then run away. It happened in the end of the first movie with the T-Rex.
Yeah.
Because the T-Rex is the thing that ends up actually saving them from the big super dinosaur. And it happens a handful of times in this movie as well. And that was just, I don't know, it was very frustrating.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. They made the T-Rex, especially in this one, like it was a character.
Yeah.
Which, like, I get, like, they're saying, I remember them saying in Jurassic World, like, that T-Rex was the T-Rex from Jurassic Park. And it's kind of like, but why does it need to be? Like, they're just animals. Like, that's the point. The more, like, they start becoming, like, not just wild animals, the less this feels like these are dinosaurs, and the more it feels like these are characters in an animated movie.
Yeah.
And that's lame.
Yeah, like you said, when you start treating the T-Rex like it's not a wild animal anymore and it's just a character in the movie, it really bugs me.
Yeah,
so.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't need it to be this deep, you know, intellectual right. sci-fi. Like, it doesn't need to be like what the, like, Planet of the Apes, this new one, kind of was trying to be, where it's right. making a point, yada, yada, yada. I'm, like, you know, one had a little more of that, but, like, I loved three, even. And I really loved Jurassic World, because they were, like, fun. They were like, oh, imagine this world, and there's just dinosaurs everywhere, and we're going to watch sort of a, doesn't even matter if it's sort of a generic action movie, but with all these dinosaurs, and that's, like, fun.
Yeah,
and the horror elements in all of them are genuinely fun. And it's like, if you can do that and then put them in different environments and different situations with different characters, great. Like, that's all the series needs to yeah. be for me to be on board, at least for now. I am not tired of that concept. But, like, that was not what this movie was.
No.
This movie was very strange. Honestly, in hindsight, what this movie felt like, which I did not go into this anticipating, like, I never thought of this as, like, this trilogy thing. And it really did feel like at the end of this, that this movie was doing a, like, we're setting up for the next movie, which is really weird.
I was told there was a stinger, which I did not stay to watch.
I did, because I Googled it and I was like, is there something I should stay here for? Because there was a couple people waiting in the theater and I was seeing if there was some reason. And it did say there was one. And the stinger was not really a stinger. All it was some pterodactyls flying and like landing on top of a building or something.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, I don't think it was signifying anything. I think it was just more of the same, like all those shots we got of the dinosaurs being among people, basically.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I know you, well, maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. We'll talk about the future a little later.
Let me ask you, how well did you think the setup and payoff of the girl character was done?
Oh, gosh. Okay, before we get into the girl, we need to sprinkle in a little good here.
Okay.
So the whole thing in the house, I don't like the way that came about,
mm-hmm.
but there were a lot of really good scenes, I feel like, in the house with yeah. the dinosaurs. I feel like that's yeah. where this movie really felt the strongest, is when they were getting chased by the Indoraptor and a couple of the different sort of horror-y scenes in there. It really leaned into sort of...
Yeah, the raptor getting close to the little girl in the bed, I think, is one of the better scenes in the movie.
So that one kind of bugged me, mostly because it was like moving so quickly and being fast at everything else, and then all of a sudden it's not. But visually, it was interesting and memorable.
Can't even enjoy the things I enjoyed in the movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Actually, I do have a complaint about that scene, but I'll wait a second and let me say some more positive things really quick.
Yeah.
So, like, the house stuff, good. Leaned into the sort of the, like, horror movie, monster movie elements that the originals, like, did have, but weren't in a house. And by doing it in a house, I feel like they did sort of lean into some cool stuff. And there was even a couple shots. Mm-hmm. Like, there was one shot of the girl running down a hallway that had to be a Shining, like, homage. Because it, like, was kind of traveling down this long hallway, and it felt, like,
yeah.
perfectly centered framed. I could have just been, like, looking into that. That might not really be a thing. But that was one thing I thought. Now,
yeah.
To the scene with her, or with the raptor, like, pulling up her blanket or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then Chris Pratt runs in and shoots it like two times, and it kind of cowers mm-hmm. back. And then he just like puts the gun down and stares at it. Did you notice that?
Oh, no.
I was just like, what are you doing, man? Like, why aren't you shooting more? And he's just like looking at it like, I think it's finally going to leave us alone. And then, of course, it didn't. And then he pulled the gun back up and like clicked, and then it was like out of ammo or something.
I'm not defending this, but I would imagine someone defending it would say that they're trank darts, and they had established earlier that too much of it could kill him, and so maybe he didn't.
But that's what I'm... No, I think they were actually regular gun bullets. And yes, it did seem like the reason was because he didn't want to kill it. That's the thing that I'm like, really? Like,
yeah.
And maybe that's part of my problem with this whole movie is...
These things can rip off our face. Let's save them.
Yeah, I'm not on board with the Save the Dinosaurs team here.
No.
Like, pretty much at all. It's kind of like... Sure, if you can, like, I'm not in disagreement that you should maybe be like, hey, government, there's some sort of, like, scientific value to get out of these. We should, like, move some of them to a different island so that they're still around because that's cool or yeah. whatever. Fine. But, like, the whole, we're going to risk our lives and put, like, lots of real people and apparently a little girl's life in danger for the sake of a couple of these dinosaurs seems I just couldn't ever get my brain into that space. So that might be part of it too.
Yeah, opening credits, Jeff Goldblum is 100% correct.
Yes, very much so.
Everything he was saying was correct. And that's the thing, I think, also, that I agree with you on everything you just said. That irritated me so much because the movie just assumed, oh, everyone's going to agree we got to yeah. save the dinosaurs because it's a dinosaur movie.
It didn't do any work to earn that.
Yeah, it's like Godzilla tearing apart a city. And the point of the movie is, we need to get him out of here. No, you need to shoot something at him through his head to get him to stop destroying the city. Like, that's at least the plot of the classic Godzilla.
And I feel like all of the other movies spent a lot of time convincing us that the dinosaurs are monsters. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah. I get it. They're animals. Like, it's, you know, not monsters. Like, we should kill them all. But, like, they went way out of their way to be like, hey, these aren't just majestic creatures. These are horrifying, scary monsters that we should maybe avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Like, specifically, we'll get to the girl in a second. But, like, specifically them releasing them all at the end.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
I was so happy when they were like, you know what? We're going to have to let them die because obviously that's the right call.
Yep.
And then the girl hits it and everybody's like, oh, well, that's great. I'm glad you hit it. Like, you know, now I don't have to feel bad about the countless deaths that I'm going to cause
right
in society by releasing all these. It's like, no, like I'm rooting against all of the main heroes right now. And that is a weird feeling.
Right. Yeah, it was so bizarre. And I guarantee you people would try to make an analogy to other, like, endangered, like let's say a large game cat or something like that may be going extinct. People would be... the thing is those things are much easier to shrink and relocate
well, and this,
than
again,
a freaking
this movie
dinosaur.
Makes a really strong point to show, like, these things will just kill large numbers of people. This isn't like a bear. This is like...
Yeah, right.
A... super bear that is just going to go and like terrorize, but you know, hundreds of
also
people.
Also, on the same token, all of a sudden, before the credits roll, it's now a Jurassic World. Yeah, all 20 of them, all 20 of those dinosaurs are now taken over the world. That was such a stretch to me.
Yeah, I was really confused by that too. Like, they made such a strong point to say that there was like 12 of them, or it was like a small number. I kept thinking like, that seems like a smaller number than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Like every time he was selling them, he was like talking about how many there were. And yeah, when they released them, it wasn't that big of a holding area.
No, 20 is not really that big of an exaggeration. Yeah. It was 20 or 30. That's it. And it's so weird because, again, I realize this is not trying to be a hyper-realistic movie, but I mean, there's a point in human history where it said that, like, humans almost died out because we got down to a population of 10,000.
Yeah.
Sorry, 30 dinosaurs aren't taking over the world. All you have to do is set up a perimeter within a certain area. I don't know. That was a stretch to me, too. Not to mention, like, how many people are going to be like, yeah, I'm not okay with a raptor in my neighborhood, so we're just going to go out and shoot it.
Yeah, especially because it's in America, right?
Yeah.
Like one of the most armed citizenries in the world.
Yeah. It's relying on the inability of people to defend themselves. And it's just, it's all sort of silly. Yeah. Especially whenever even our police forces have, I won't go there. But
although this does make me think of when the llamas got loose in San Diego.
Yeah, llama watch.
I'm just imagining them trying to chase down that one that does the headbutting. And just watching helicopter footage of a bunch of county cops trying to...
True, but if that llama was opening small children's throats, they would absolutely just pull out the tank and run that thing
that's
over.
That's a very good point.
that's what I'm saying. Like, this... That, yeah. All, like things like that sort of bug me, where people are like, well, No, I won't go there.
Sorry, I'm still stuck on the llamas, like, killing people imagery.
Yeah, no, to me, it's just like... these things where people expect that because something has some sort of defense that it can fend off the United States government or even the British government or the Chinese government, wherever it happens to be at, is just absurd to me.
Yeah, I'm genuinely confused as to how they're going to write. Well, had this movie been different, I would have been like, I wonder how they're going to like write around the issue that there's so few of them. Like, maybe a bunch of them somehow got out into a certain area and they're like breeding really fast, or I don't know. But like, I have no faith.
These would have to be Catholic rabbits here, though. I mean, come on. It's just not realistic.
Yeah, there's one raptor, right? There's just Blue.
There's a couple. There was a couple, I thought, when they looked over that town.
Was there? Okay.
Yeah. And they looked over a little neighborhood that looked like Walter White's area in Breaking Bad, his neighborhood.
I have no faith that they're going to come up with a satisfactory explanation at all for this. I mean, maybe they will.
No, it'll be like the original Planet of the Apes, where it's just like they took over and somehow there's a zillion apes for some reason that makes no sense.
I mean, to be honest, like, that would be the best way they could handle this, is skipping forward way ahead in time, right?
Yeah, maybe like a post-apocalypse 200 years from now.
Because then it's like, we don't know what happened, right? Like, but then that still is dumb. Like,
I would be okay with that, but I feel like they're going to try and keep Chris Pratt and what's-her-face.
I mean, it's weird, right? Part of me is like, none of that makes any sense for the plot, but then the other part of me is like, but that's the part of the movie I like.
If they want to go full bonkers with it, they could do a couple hundred years in the future. Dinosaurs have taken over the Earth, and they bring back to life a clone of Chris Pratt and what's-her-face.
No,
and Bryce Dallas
Chris
Howard.
Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard get in a space shuttle, and they shoot out into space, and they go through a black hole, and then they land on a planet that is filled with speaking dinosaurs.
Talking dinosaurs. Yeah.
I think that's where this is going.
Because that's Planet of the Apes.
That's Planet of the Apes. Wow. Yeah, thank you. Do you have any positive things? We just went on a nice little rant there, and I have some more ranting I need to do. So,
positive things. It's competently, like, cinematography and everything. Like, it's a great looking movie, if that makes sense. I feel like we kind of touched on that, but I'll reemphasize that.
We did, but we can lean into it.
This time I'm not talking about visuals. I'm saying, like, it feels like it's part of the Jurassic Park series with like the colors and I feel like if there was a solid script behind it, like, we would be able to competently talk about how great the cinematography is, but it's just sort of like, because it fell flat.
I think you're right, because there were so many parts of this movie that were like really cool shots that I couldn't really appreciate because I was too busy like putting my hands in the air. Like, really?
The Brontosaurus on the dock was a great scene.
Right. But like,
if there was more to it, like more emotional impact.
I was so emotionally disengaged that I couldn't.
Exactly.
You know. Same with the Indoraptor's final death on the like Triceratops horns.
Yeah.
In that museum. And it was just kind of like laid out really cool. And there was quite a few really cool visual shots, but because of the scene happening around it, I really didn't enjoy any of them. But I think if I watch it again, I'll be able to like appreciate more of those, because I won't be so focused on like, why is this happening? You know?
Yeah. Again, it's not an unwatchable movie. I stand by, if you wanted to go see a Jurassic Park movie, you're not going to feel like you wasted your time. It's just, for me, I just didn't really care for it. Like, if someone was wanting to have a movie night and said, we're going to watch Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom or whatever it's called, I wouldn't roll my eyes. Well, I would during the movie, but I wouldn't feel like I'm going to be having a bad time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just, you really got to lower your standard, which I feel like is unfortunate for this movie franchise, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. So another little complaint I have is, why do we need a villain in a Jurassic Park movie?
Yeah.
Like, that whole thing, like, he was such a cartoonish villain.
Yeah.
In so many ways that it was just, like, painful. It really did feel like a kid's movie plot.
I was expecting him to fall into a trap that Macaulay Culkin had
set.
Yeah,
right. Like, yeah, his comeuppance at the end was so, like, telegraphed and obvious.
I don't even remember what happened. I forgot.
He gets eaten by a dinosaur, you know.
Oh, that's right. He's under the Jeep or whatnot.
It was just like, I didn't care about him. He was so forgettable. you know, I'm sure the actor did fine with what he had, but it was just like, man, and like...
Plus, there's a real parallel between... He even says it. They didn't have to say this. It's their movie. And they have him say, you guys just did this for sales, and that's all I'm doing. Kinda. You're just making it look worse because it's a black market thing, and we're trained that black market is bad. But I get, like, selling it to individual sellers can be worse, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they were doing, too, with the park initially. I don't know. To me, I'm saying, like, the only thing that distinguished him between being a really bad guy is just that he was willing to kill that old guy. That's about
it. Well, and he was acting evil the whole time.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. It felt very forced. Like, I'm being forced to just accept this is, like you said, cartoony.
Yeah, yeah.
Evil.
Right. He was just being mean to the little girl, you know. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. He just felt super one-dimensional and, like, fake.
Yeah. I take that. But, I mean, I get the black market thing is probably bad and worse. I'm just saying, like, yeah, I was just sort of frustrated that he's not a layered, interesting character. He's just evil.
Right, exactly.
He's just missing a mustache and a top hat.
Right, he was really like that. Like, it felt like they almost could have just made him, like, put on a mustache whenever he went into evil mode, and then whenever he was in the nice mode, take the mustache off, and, like, you'd expect him to be face-to-face with the heroes with the mustache still on accident, and then they're like, what's that? And he's like, oh, I don't know what this is. Oh.
Yeah, if there was a train track in the room with his benefactor, he would have used that instead of the pillow.
Exactly.
Just saying.
So let's move on to the Clone Girl.
Yeah, yeah, Clone Girl. So I did not care about this. I didn't care about the payoff. I didn't even understand why it was relevant.
So weird.
And I didn't even get it when the reveal happened. I had to figure it out afterwards, and then once I figured it out, I was like, that's stupid.
Exactly.
why do I care? Why was this needed? Yeah, it wasn't needed. I think the only point was just so that she would have a quote-unquote motivation to press the button at the end of the movie because she relates to the dinosaurs because she's a created genetic thing. So is every human. That would be like, they could have made her like, oh, I'm an IVF kid that I found out about. So because I was like done in an irregular way like these dinosaurs, then that means they're on par with me. I must set them free. It's just stupid. It's a dumb motivation.
Yeah. And again, moves us more and more into this sort of like fantasy realm versus like sci-fi.
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't understand what the purpose was. What?
It was almost like a soap opera-y. Where it's like, we got to come up with some crazy twist.
Yeah.
And why? Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't understand why it was so out of place for a Jurassic Park movie.
It felt extremely strange. And it's like,
yeah.
I don't know what to expect out of the next one. Like,
Is it going to start talking about human cloning?
Right.
Is the Jurassic Park series going to tackle human cloning? I don't have much faith in them doing that in an interesting way.
I'm sure they'll do it with a deft hand.
it'll start being like, then they're like riding children around in the military because they're genetic clones, so they're not worth anything because they're clones or something stupid like that. I don't know. We are going to be seeing people saddled on raptors in the next movie taking on tanks.
Raptors are going to be riding clone children. That's what the next one's going to be.
Taking on tanks and just like ripping them apart because somehow they've genetically modified a dinosaur tooth to rip through steel.
Yeah, I think so. They can all shoot lasers out of their eyes and fly too.
Maybe it'll cross over with the X-Men universe and they'll have adamantium claws.
That.
I'm just so disappointed.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I hate to say this, and it's probably not fair, but I'm almost kind of glad Trevorrow is not doing the next Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
If this is his writing prowess, I'm not a big
fan.
Well,
so...
The first one was okay, but people would be lying to themselves if they were trying to say that the first one, it wasn't completely running off nostalgia.
Yeah. I do think the first one was good, though.
That was the movie. Which is fine. It's fine. There's a place for nostalgia. I'm talking about Jurassic World.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying, like,
yeah, okay.
I genuinely thought it was really fun. Like, the way this, like, production design and the, like, way they fully realized the park as a, like, actual park, I genuinely thought that was well executed and genuinely fun.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It didn't stick with me, though. Like, people acted, especially with the sales and the box office and, like, all the hype around it, you would have thought it was a Star Wars movie. And nothing about it stuck with me. It was just sort of like, yeah, that was fun. That was a good, nice to have Jurassic World back. But I didn't really care about it afterwards.
I was in the camp that just really, really genuinely liked it a lot.
Oh, okay. I'm just different then. It didn't move me one way.
I mean,
or another.
It seemed like most people had your reaction like after the fact. Like it kind of had that like super positive
like
reaction, and then it all like kind of flipped around. Yeah, kind of like Avatar.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know the story with Colin Trevorrow and like why he's not doing Star Wars supposedly, right?
What I know it was some sort of headbutting. It wasn't like a mutual thing. There was problems, wasn't there?
Yeah, my understanding is he did Jurassic World, everybody loved him. They like hired him on. And then either it was related to his work in writing that Star Wars, or it was he came up with a movie called The Book of Henry, which is apparently like incredibly bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was awful. Well, I didn't see it, but I knew it was not well received. Yeah.
Yeah. I just pulled it up. It has a 20% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't even know what this is about. Mm. But from what I've heard, this movie like took Star Wars away from him, apparently.
It didn't look great. Even from the trailer, it looked pretty bad.
I don't even know like what it's about. So
you would recognize it if you watched the trailer again, but yeah. Because I remember I was at a movie when that trailer came on. But anyways, that was a couple years
ago. But Jurassic World is still making all the money. So
yeah,
we'll at least get one more. So, you know, they can tie up their trilogy.
My theater gave it a standing ovation.
Oh, seriously?
Well, yeah, they clapped for it.
My theater did not react to this movie at all. Like, one of my notes I have in here is there was zero reaction to anything in this movie other than, like, groans a lot of times. Except for there was like one scene where Bryce Dallas Howard like pulls the guard into the bars when they're in the thing, and then Chris Pratt kind of like snickers, and that got some laughs. Mm-hmm. And I literally think that was the only time anybody in the theater like laughed.
Yeah, the kids enjoy it. That's all I can really say about it.
It's still dinosaurs. I mean, the honest truth of it is, I'll probably buy it.
Why?
Because I like watching the Jurassic Park movies. And I have all the other ones, and it's like, especially if the third one is reasonable, I'm sure I'll get it so that I have all of them, so that if somebody wants to watch through them all, they can, you know?
Yeah, okay.
But maybe not. I don't know.
It's your life.
So my last complaint I have, this makes me very sad too, is the score just felt really flat to me, like noticeably for some reason.
Oh, yeah. I didn't notice anything about
it. And now it's possible that, you know, like everything, if the movie's bad, that drags everything down. But like it was a thing that I actively noticed in a bunch of stuff. And I went and looked it up, and it was Michael Giacchino again, who, you know, I generally speaking love. And the last episode, I was just raving about how good, you know, the incredible soundtrack is by him. But I don't know if he wasn't given as much time or if it really is like the score was fine and I'm just letting the rest of the movie color it. But I found it to be very, very flat in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really notice anything about it. The only stuff I know about the score is just from that initial trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Which also didn't really impress me.
Yeah. So what are you thinking about the future then?
Of Jurassic Park?
Well, specifically the next movie. This one ends with them being released into the wild, all, you know, 20 of them.
I really do think, because I feel like they were setting this up in Jurassic World, which I remember even thinking when the last one came out, like, this, I remember thinking, this movie is fine, but if they go what I think they meant by these statements, if they start going in that direction, it's going to be really dumb. And again, I really do think it's heading towards wars with raptors. Like, I don't see how that's not exactly what they've been setting up this whole time. It's going to be about unrealistically somehow dinosaurs have overtaken the world and become this rampant problem that people have to live with and adjust to. And it's not going to make any sense. And you're just going to be forced to accept it like they force-fed you the message in this movie, like, no, we got to save these dinosaurs, even though they can rip your face off.
But here's the thing, though. If they can get past the dinosaurs are out in the world and they're a thing you have to deal with, and they're just part of nature now. If they can get you to that point, don't you think that could make a fun movie?
I really do think the only way it would work is what we were talking about earlier, is if they did a time jump where the world has deteriorated and the dinosaurs have truly taken over and you're dealing with a different set of problems, new characters. Sort of like, some people might not think this is a good comparison, but I think it's fine, is the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes. Like, in all honesty, like, that was a very blockbustery type take on Planet of the Apes, and I think generally speaking people actually were okay with that movie. They just thought the end was super stupid. That was a fine movie as far as a blockbuster, and it sort of hit that middle ground between sort of camp and a more serious take on it, if that makes sense. I don't know how much you remember that movie, but
I do. I don't remember it being, you didn't like it? Positive. I mean, I liked it because I was a kid. My general perception of it was not that it was a good movie, though.
It might not be a great comparison. I'm just saying that if they were to do something completely separated from these characters and storylines, that would be okay with me.
Yeah, I feel like if you can convince me through just an opening scene of like news, you know, reels or something, where it's like, dinosaurs got released and government went to shut them down, but then activists came in and tried to stop them. And now there's like a nature reserve in, you know, Wyoming, and it's filled with dinosaurs.
Right.
And this is just part of nature now. And then we watch a story about a hiker that gets lost in the woods. And then, you know, somebody goes and like tries to hire Chris Pratt to go save him because he knows how to deal with dinosaurs. Right. And then we just get like, kind of like Jurassic Park 3, we just get this story of a rescue mission into dinosaur territory. I could be totally down with that. That would be a different environment, but like it could still have the same type of horror elements to it, and we don't have to have dinosaurs riding motorcycles.
I mean, it could work. I realize that the newer Planet of the Apes movies are a lot more serious than the Jurassic Park World movies, but that's essentially what they did between Rise and Dawn,
right,
was they just sort of jumped forward.
Yeah, dropped all those characters.
Yeah, we didn't need to see, well, same ape character, but yeah, correct.
Dropped the James Franco characters.
Yeah, exactly. So that could work. Here's the thing. I'm of a different opinion than you, which is fine, because I totally understand your stance and you're fine with coming up with new scenarios and putting them in this. I'm of the opinion that I personally don't need anything other than the first Jurassic Park movie.
Well, sure.
I feel the same way about King Kong. Like, I was fine with the Peter Jackson one. I even liked the new Skull Island one. But when they inevitably make Skull Island 2 or whatever their crossover they're trying to do with Godzilla, I don't really need it. Godzilla...
But that's the fun thing about these types of franchises, is that you don't need it. It's like, if it's a good movie, it can be good and then be fun on its own. And if it's bad, oh, well, watch the next one.
Right. I'm saying I personally don't care. I don't need the other movies.
But if a movie comes out and it's good, you'll like it, right?
Well, my thing is, if the other five Jurassic Park movies are nowhere near as good as the first one, then I'm just going to watch the first one if I have a choice to watch one of them. It's very different than franchise movies. I think the franchising is done differently than something like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, because obviously you're watching for the next progressive thing in that story or saga, if you will.
Right.
But I don't really care. I don't care where Jurassic Park is going next. It's not something I'm super invested in personally. And so like these types of monster movies, I feel the same way also whenever you actually get into more harder, like... horror movies. There's a few exceptions, so like Alien and Aliens are both good movies, but I don't really need more Alien movies. The rest of them haven't really, like, I even like the newer one, Alien Resurrection, or whatever it was called. I don't think I'll ever watch it again, because if I'm gonna sit down and watch an Alien movie, I'm gonna watch the first one, because that other one was fine, it was serviceable, but I don't need it. There's just certain movies where I don't care about where they're going.
I mean I get what you're saying. But like that's the thing. It doesn't have to be part of a big grander picture. It's just a like playground for movies to kind of play in.
Yeah. And
if people can make a good movie in it, then that's great. You know what I mean?
And that like I said, that's totally fine. I'm just saying for me personally, I don't care.
But you went and saw it.
I saw it because we had to do this podcast and it's going to be a big movie.
Well, but you saw Jurassic World.
I did see Jurassic World.
Did you not enjoy that?
I enjoyed it. I don't really ever plan on watching it.
I'm just confused by your sentiment here. You're making it sound like they shouldn't make it. Like, even for your sake, that it's not...
Do you know how you don't feel like you really need to see the Hobbit movies? That's how I feel about these movies.
But I would never describe them that way. I would never say, like, I don't need it. Because it's like, well, the implication there then is that you needed the other ones. Like, the idea is people can make it, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, the nice thing about this type of franchise is that you don't have to see all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, a lot of these, you know, big mega franchises now, it's like there's so many interconnected parts that you have to see all of them. And if one of them's bad, it sucks because it's like, every once in a while, I have to watch this.
Right. I understand. All I was saying was I personally, it's just a personal opinion, I don't really care to see the other ones. They're not something...
Like, you're done with the franchise, is what you're saying.
If we weren't doing a podcast, I wouldn't have gone and seen this movie.
Gotcha.
Like, I wouldn't have spent the money, or, well, I have MoviePass, but I wouldn't have gone and seen it.
Let's finish this out. So,
okay.
what would you do as your Rotten Tomatoes score for this?
This would be a 40 or 50%.
Yeah, I think my disappointment is playing into this, because in my head I'm thinking like 30%.
Mm-hmm.
But like, when I really think about it, it was a better movie than like Justice League. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I said Justice League was fun, but it's like I didn't expect anything out of Justice League. And while the trailers for this looked bad, I was not expecting it to be like that. Right. So like, it's probably more like a 60. Like, it's probably worth seeing. If you like seeing dinosaurs, it's about as good as you're going to get of anything new that shows you dinosaurs. So
it's honestly,
it's probably worth seeing. But boy, was the storytelling aspect of it a train wreck.
It also just sort of felt like a placeholder, sort of like Iron Man 2 and Thor 2. Like, it's not like you've completely blown your money and wasted your time watching these, but they're not particularly memorable and they feel like they're just the next thing that they were making until they thought of a better idea.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, I realize they're trying to take some steps forward in where it's going, but it just felt uninspired.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
But yeah, I agree with everything you said. So if you had a different opinion on Jurassic World, or you completely agree with us, or maybe I'm completely fine giving it the benefit of the doubt. Like, I hate listening to podcasts where people pick on things that were clearly addressed in the movie.
Right.
So, all honesty, like, if there was something we missed or something, feel free to point it out to us. I'm not going to...
Yeah, absolutely defend this movie. If you could make it through this episode and you liked it, I genuinely am sorry.
Yeah, because if you could make me like this and point out that this was actually all genius, like, I have no problem changing my mind. Maybe I was a stupid moviegoer. So I don't think that's the case, but
yeah, sell us on it.
Tell them where they can find us at, Charlie, because I don't know the addresses.
They can find us at atownmovies.com, and they can find our like Facebook and Reddit and Instagram at atownfm.
Oh, okay.
And we have a separate Twitter for this one, and it's A-Town Movies FM.
Yeah.
Yep.
And to give a little teaser for next time, and you can cut this if we're not going to use it, but were we doing Logan Lucky?
I don't think so. Not soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, sorry.
We watched Logan Lucky recently. You should go watch this good movie if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Okay. That's a wrap.
All right.